The scripture reading this morning is John chapter 17. We read this in connection with the first petition of the Lord's Prayer in Lord's Day 47. Hallowed be thy name. John chapter 17, this is Jesus' high priestly prayer. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in them. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovedst me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, The world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. So far the reading of God's holy, infallible word. On the basis of this passage of Scripture, and on the basis of many passages of Scripture, we have the teaching of the Heidelberg Catechism in Lord's Day 47, found on page 26 in the back of the Psalter. Which is the first petition? Hallowed be thy name. That is, grant us first rightly to know thee, and to sanctify, glorify, and praise thee in all thy works, in which thy power, wisdom, goodness, justice, mercy, and truth are clearly displayed. And further also, that we may so order and direct our whole lives, our thoughts, words, and actions, that thy name may never be blasphemed, but rather honored and praised on our account. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, last week we began looking at the Lord's Prayer in detail. Last week, remember, we looked at the address of the Lord's Prayer, Our Father, which art in heaven. This morning we begin looking at the particular petitions that Jesus teaches us to pray in the Lord's Prayer. There are six petitions in the Lord's Prayer. Remember, the first three having to do with God and God's cause and God's kingdom and glory, and the second three having to do with us and our needs as God's people here on earth. The particular order in which these petitions are given is by design. In the very order of these petitions, Jesus is teaching us not only what to pray for, but how we ought to frame our minds and our thoughts as we approach God in prayer. The first three petitions of the Lord's Prayer are the first three exactly because this needs to be our chief focus and concern in prayer. God. God's glory, God's kingdom, and God's will. Now that becomes especially clear when you notice what is the first petition of all six petitions in the Lord's Prayer. Of all the petitions we might first bring unto God, of all things we might ask for from God, this, Jesus says, is first. Hallowed be thy name. Among all our struggles, among all our difficulties and casting our burdens upon the Lord and pouring out our hearts before God, this, Jesus says, is the first petition. Hallowed be thy name. There is nothing that is more important to us than that God's name be hallowed. Not my wife's earthly happiness or my husband's earthly happiness. Not my children's upbringing. Not the future of my job. Not my own health. Not my own life takes precedence. But this one thing, that God's name be hallowed. And I pray here in this first petition that in all things, in all my life and in all the world, God might receive the glory. All of it can go away. All that I am and all that I have and all that is in this world can go away and be taken away and even be destroyed. If there is but this one thing, God's name is glorified through it. Now remember, this is a petition Jesus teaches us to pray. Not a half-hearted wish, not a thought that passes through our minds, across our minds. This is a petition. This is what we are directly asking for from God in prayer. And so you see that right away in our prayers, we need to have understanding when we make these petitions. This is not a light prayer to make. I may not say these words without thinking what they mean. This must be my chief and my fervent desire. This is how Jesus teaches us to pray. This is how Jesus himself prays in John chapter 17. Right there in the very first verse, glorify me that I might glorify thee. The hour is come, Jesus says. And what is that hour? It's the hour of Jesus' suffering and death. Lead me through this, Father. Remember, he makes this prayer the night before his suffering and crucifixion on the cross. Lead me through this hour that thy name might be glorified. What we take as our theme this morning, the first petition, hallowed be thy name. And we look at that theme under 3 points. First, we look at the meaning. Second, we look at the content, more specifically what we are actually praying for here. And then third, we look at the reason for making this prayer. In order to pray this prayer properly, we need to know what it means. And that means that we need to know especially what God's name is and then what it is to hallow God's name. We have looked at God's name before. Not that long ago, with the third commandment, we looked at God's name. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. What is God's name? God's name is his own revelation to us of who he is. God's name is his own revelation to us of who he is. God shows us who he is through his names. We know who God is through his names, so that in a very real way we can say God is his names. This is God to me, his names. God is his names. You see, this is the reality. God is the infinite, eternal, exalted one. God dwells in an inaccessible light. As we read in 1 Timothy 6, verse 16, God dwells in the light which no man can approach unto. God is infinite, and we are not. We are finite. God is high above us. God is incomprehensible in his beauty, in his glory, in his infinite magnitude. God is above time. God is above creation. And the only way then in which we can come to know God is if God chooses to come down to us, to enter into time, as it were, enter into his creation, come down to our level of understanding and speak to us creatures in a way we can understand him and reveal himself to us in that way. And that's exactly what God's name is. God, through giving us his names, has come down to us and has revealed to himself, has revealed himself to us so that we might know God. God's name then is who God is. God's name is everything that reveals God to us and that teaches us about God. First, God's name is his proper names, which God has given to himself in the Bible that we might know him through these names. Think of the name Jehovah that God gave to Moses in Exodus chapter 3. Call me Jehovah. I am that I am. Revealing to Moses and to God's people not only that he is the unchanging eternal God, but that he is the unchanging eternal God of his covenant promises, who is always faithful to the promise that he made to their forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's how God made himself known to his people. Think of the name Father that we looked at last week. This is how God reveals himself to us through the name Father, so that we know we are his adopted children through Jesus Christ. Through these names, God reveals himself to us. Second, God's name is not just his proper names, but all of God's attributes and characteristics are God's name. Through his attributes, he reveals himself to us. Listen to what we read in Exodus 34, verses 5 through 7. This is where we read where God revealed himself unto Moses on top of Mount Sinai, the second time that Moses was receiving the law. Exodus 34, verses 5 through 7, we read this. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there. God stood with Moses there on Mount Sinai in the cloud. And we read this. And he proclaimed the name of the Lord. And now this is how God proclaims his own name. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed the Lord God, Jehovah, that name. And now notice, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty who is just, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation. That was God proclaiming his own name to Moses. And he lists his own attributes: mercy, love, grace, justice. All these attributes are God's self-revelation of who he is. All these are part of God's name. And that's why in the catechism, in the third line of the answer, you have all those attributes mentioned, in which thy power, wisdom, goodness, justice, mercy, and truth are clearly displayed. The catechism is mentioning there God's name. This is God's name we are to hallow. Third, God's name is revealed in all his works. First of all, in God's work of creation, God reveals himself. Psalm 8 says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. In Psalm 19, we read, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament show forth his handiwork. God reveals his name, himself, namely his Godhead and his power through creation. Well, that being said, we also know that through Adam's fall into sin, since Adam's fall into sin, though the creation reveals God to man still, man in his total depravity corrupts that knowledge of God, twists it, and uses that knowledge only in the service of sin. Man left to himself cannot use this knowledge of God for good. He suppresses this knowledge in unrighteousness, and this knowledge only serves to leave man without excuse before God. The knowledge of God from creation cannot lead a man to salvation. But besides God's work of creation, God's name is also revealed to us, and especially revealed to us through his work of redemption, as recorded in the scriptures. For the students in Belgic confession class, in the pre-confession class, let me ask you this. Besides creation, where does God make himself more clearly and more fully known unto us? Belgic confession, article 2. Answer, in his holy and divine word. And that word, word, in the Belgic Confession is capitalized, emphasizing that it's not only the scriptures, but it is in Jesus Christ where God reveals himself more fully, because Jesus Christ is the holy and divine word of God. Jesus Christ is the revelation of God in human flesh. In Jesus Christ, we find the name of God being fully declared unto us. And when we say that God is revealed to us, especially in Jesus Christ, we mean also this, that it is actually through Jesus Christ that a man comes to a saving knowledge of God. Man comes to have God revealed unto him in a saving way. It's not just through Jesus' words in the scriptures whereby we know God, but it's especially through Jesus' work of redemption, as recorded in the scriptures, that we come to know God. And it is not just through Jesus' work of redemption that we come to know God. It is especially, in a particular way, through Jesus' work of regeneration that we come to know God. Giving a man new spiritual life, bringing a man out of utter darkness into the marvelous light of God, opening the eyes, the spiritual eyes of that man, so that he can see God in Jesus Christ, except in the way of doing that, Jesus reveals the name of God to His elect people. In fact, except Jesus Christ sovereignly gives a dead sinner new life and regenerates that sinner and causes that blind sinner to see God, no sinner will not and cannot come to a true saving knowledge of God. It is only through Jesus Christ and His work that we come to know truly who and what God is. And that's marvelously shown to us in the passage we read, John chapter 17. Notice what we read in verse 3. "And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom Thou hast sent." This is life eternal, knowing God, having God revealed unto a person. And then what do we read in verse 6? Jesus says, "I have manifested, I have revealed Thy name unto the men which Thou gavest Me out of the world. Thine they were, and Thou gavest them Me, and they have kept Thy word." Notice also what we read in verse 26. "And I have declared, revealed unto them Thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith Thou hast loved Me may be in them, and I in them." To know God is life eternal. And it's through Jesus Christ revealing God's name to His people that they come to know God and enjoy eternal life. Well, the point of all this is this. God is revealed through His names, and especially through the name Jesus Christ. So when we pray, "Hallowed be Thy name," we are praying concerning God Himself and concerning how God has revealed Himself through the various ways, in the ways God has revealed Himself, and especially in Jesus Christ. In this first petition, then, Jesus teaches us to pray, "Hallowed be Thy name." That word "hallowed" means to make something holy, to set something apart for special use. The word "hallowed" is really the same as the word "sanctify," to make holy, to set apart. To hallow God's name means that we hallow God Himself. We treat God as holy and we set Him apart from all else as the one who is special. For example, in Exodus 15 verse 11, Moses hallows God's name. In Exodus 15 verse 11, Moses says this, "Who is like unto Thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like Thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders?" What Moses is doing is this. There are all these idols of all the nations around us. There's all creation around us. And then there is God over here. "Who is like unto Thee?" Nothing, no one like unto God. He stands alone in holiness, in glory, in beauty. He is set apart. But notice something about that word "hallowed." Notice that the word "hallowed" is in the passive. We don't say, "Our Father which art in heaven, we hallow Thy name." We pray in the passive, "Hallowed be Thy name." This is a petition. And what that means is this, that we pray to God that He would hallow His own name, and that He would hallow His own name through us and by giving us the grace and the Holy Spirit to hallow His name properly. And the point of bringing that up is this. This is God's work. We must understand and see this. The hallowing of God's name is God's work to do. It's God's grace. For us to hallow God's name, we stand entirely dependent upon God's grace and God's Holy Spirit. That's the significance of this being a petition. We recognize this is God's work and not my work first. This is God's work, who works it in us, both to will and to do of His good pleasure and for His glory. That's the significance of those words in the answer to the catechism. That is, grant us this. We cannot hallow God's name, glorify God, except God would work this grace in us. And in this prayer, Jesus instructs us to recognize that. All of salvation is of God. Even my hallowing God's name is not to boast in me, but to boast in God. That's where it's all for God's glory. I glory in God, I glorify His name, and even that I recognize is God, to give Him that glory too. What this first petition is expressing then is our request that God would govern us, God would guide us by His Spirit and Word in order that we, with all creation, would magnify and praise God in the perfect way that God desires it. It means that we would have a special place in our hearts for God, so that for us, God is set apart. God's glory and God's holiness comes before everything. We want God to make His own name special in the world and in our lives. Well, what does that mean? What are we really asking for then in this first petition? What is the content of this first petition? Hallowed be Thy name. Well, the Catechism explains it in the answer. Let's read the answer once again, seeing the two parts of the answer. Hallowed be Thy name, that is, grant us first rightly to know Thee. This is the content. Rightly to know Thee, and to sanctify, glorify, and praise Thee in all Thy works, in which Thy power, wisdom, goodness, justice, mercy, and truth, in which God's name is clearly displayed. And further also, that we may so order and direct our whole lives, our thoughts, words, and actions, that Thy name may never be blasphemed, but rather honored and praised on our account. That we might praise God and glorify God, and that through us, others also might glorify God. First then we pray, hallowed be Thy name. When we pray that, we are praying that we would rightly know God. That's the content, first of all, of this petition. And that makes sense. If I'm going to sanctify God, if I'm going to glorify God and praise God in all His works and in all His attributes, I first need to know Him rightly. I first need to know His works. I first need to know His attributes and know the names that He gives for Himself in the Scriptures, if I'm going to glorify that name. If I'm going to worship God and honor Him, I must be seeing Him as He properly is. And the more my knowledge of God is enriched through my study of the Scriptures and through the preaching, and the more my knowledge of God is confirmed by my own experiences in life, the more I will give God the glory and see that He is worthy of the glory and praise Him for it. When we pray, hallowed be Thy name, then this is what we are praying for. I am praying in this petition that I would make a point of it to sit under the preaching of the gospel twice on Sunday. I am praying that I would come prepared to catechism class and to Bible study. I am praying that I would be diligent in family devotions and in my own personal devotions. Because it's exactly through these means that I come to know God better, so that I can glorify Him and sanctify Him all the more. You see, worshiping God is not merely some emotion. It's not merely some warm feeling. Worship is rooted in the knowledge of God. That's exactly why Jesus says in John 17, verse 3, this is life eternal, knowing God. This is the enjoyment of spiritual life, knowing God. And this afternoon we'll also see what that knowing God means, having a relationship of love and friendship with God. When we pray, hallowed be thy name, this is what we are praying for. That I would hate and reject all false teachings and separate myself from them. That I would love the preaching that explains the scriptures, that is doctrinal, and that helps me understand God's word better. Because this is how I come to rightly know God, so that I can glorify him. When we pray, hallowed be thy name, this is what we are praying for. We're praying for our minister. We're praying for our office bearers. We're praying for the seminary. And we're praying for missions and for evangelism, so that through all these means, I and others with me might come to a better and a right knowledge of God, that we might worship him accordingly. Congregation, this is why our preaching is doctrinal and why it must be doctrinal. This is exactly why we emphasize catechism instruction for the youth. This is exactly why we emphasize the establishment and the maintaining of good Christian schools for our children, where our children are taught the right knowledge of God to the utmost of our power as parents. Because I cannot glorify and honor God except I know him. And I don't just want to glorify and honor God, but I want to glorify and honor God to the best of my ability, to glorify him in all his works, in all his attributes, in everything I see in creation, in all the subjects that I might see under the sun. This is my chief concern, and in order to do that, I need to know him rightly and know him better, and not just good enough. And that's why that's also true for my family and my children. To know God and keep knowing God better and not just good enough. I want this for my church. I want this for my family. I want this for all God's people. This is my petition. Hallowed be thy name. I want to know more about that name, Jesus Christ, and who God is as my God in Jesus Christ. I want to know about how God has actually saved me in Jesus Christ, so that I know what justification means, and imputation, and propitiation, and sanctification, so that knowing these things, I might exalt and glorify God all the more with better understanding. I want to know more of God's justice, more about God's power. When I sit under the preaching, this swells up, and this thought swells up in my heart. Tell me more, O minister, about the forgiveness of sins. Tell me more, O minister, about providence, about total depravity, about unconditional election, about irresistible grace. Tell me more and more about God's love for me in Jesus Christ. For the more I know these things, the better I can honor and praise God, and the more I will humble myself before God and give him the praise. And this is where it becomes so practical then for God's people, hearing these things. For what does it mean? What does it mean when I pray this petition, as we so frequently do, hallowed be thy name, and yet we don't care much about these things? Remember, this is the first petition. This is my greatest longing, my chief delight. And yet I don't care about the preaching. I don't care about my children's catechism lesson or Bible instruction. I don't care what church I am attending. I leave my Bible unopened on my desk at home. One might rightly say, looking at that from the outside, hypocrisy. To pray this first petition, hallowed be thy name, and yet not care about knowing God? Think about this, congregation. A son, imagine a son who is far away from home, and he is writing letters to his father. And in those letters to his father, he tells his father that he longs to see him, and he longs to fellowship with his father. That's what he tells his father in those letters. And yet that son never takes any trouble to read the letters that his father is constantly sending him through the mail. He takes those letters, he throws them on his desk, and he leaves those letters unopened on his desk, collecting dust. You might say that doesn't make sense. How offensive, really, to write that to his father, and yet not even read his father's own letter. Yet that's sadly exactly what God's people do when they pray, "Hallowed be thy name." Yet they never read or actually study the scriptures. And they leave God's letter, you might say, God's word, unopened on their desk, collecting dust. They show that they really don't mean it. To pray, "Hallowed be thy name," then, involves this. First, as our petition, that we might rightly know God. But when we pray for the hallowing of God's name, we also pray for this, that not just in our knowledge, but also in all our activity, in all our words, in all our actions, we glorify God. That's the second half of the petition, of the answer. And further, also, that we may so order and direct our whole lives, our thoughts, words, and actions, that thy name may never be blasphemed, but rather honored and praised on our account. To know God better, and then to live better according to that knowledge. And the Catechism is emphasizing here just how all-encompassing this petition is. Our thoughts, our words, our actions. Concerning my thoughts, this is what I'm praying. This is the content of my prayer. I pray that my thoughts, every single one of them, might rightly hold God in his proper place as the majestic God of creation. God and his word and his name are always the motivating principle in all my planning, in all my decision making, in all my goals and my aspirations, whether it be with my finances or my family or my career. Concerning my words, I pray that my words, every single one that comes out of my mouth, exalt and magnify the Lord, so that whether at this time in my life God is giving to me, or whether at this time in my life I feel God taking away from me, I am able to say with Job, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." And I am able to say in the depths of my soul, "Hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord." And then when God gives me opportunity, I use my words to faithfully witness to others about the joy and the hope that lives in my heart and about the free grace that is found in Jesus Christ. Concerning my actions, I pray that my actions, all of them, might be a declaration to all around me that I acknowledge God's sovereignty over every area of my life. My work life, my family life, my church life, my private life, my social life. He is the king and the ruler of my life. I follow his commandments. I praise and I worship him through trusting and obeying him. This is how I glorify and sanctify his name. And it includes this too. What does a child do when he hears his father's name being badly spoken of? Well, that child stands up and he says, "Leave the good name of my father alone." And that's exactly the action we must take when we hear God's name being blasphemed, when others would take God's name in vain. "Leave the good name of my father alone." And when we pray, "Hallowed be thy name," we are praying for the grace to do this when the opportunity presents itself. What this first petition emphasizes then is our heartfelt attitude towards God. In this prayer, I am praying that in all my being, that with all that I am and God, all that God has given to me, I press it all into the service of bringing glory to his name. This is my attitude. There is nothing that is more important to me, nothing that I desire more earnestly than giving God the glory. But congregation, we realize, we understand, don't we, that we are but earthly creatures, aren't we? And as earthly creatures, we walk around with our hearts full of all kinds of earthly desires. We know that. We feel that. Good aspirations, perhaps. We have legitimate concerns. Perhaps we walk around with our hearts filled with all kinds of unfulfilled expectations. We have desires and longings. And as we go to God in prayer, we take those desires and those concerns and those longings with us in prayer. And as we go to God in prayer and fall on our knees, we begin our prayer just as God teaches us, with confidence and with reverence, "Our Father, which art in heaven." But just as soon as we are about to bring our petitions to God, and we are to bring all our desires and concerns and all our expectations to God with all our hopes and our dreams and our struggles, and they're welling up within our hearts as we fall on our knees and we're ready to pour all these things out before God and lay them out before Him one by one and ask God for all these things and bring all these petitions before God and ask Him for all these things we would very much like for ourselves and for the church and for our family. And just when we're about to do that, pour out our hearts to God, God comes to us at the very beginning of our prayers. And He asks us, "Now, which of these would you like most of all? What is your deepest longing, your greatest need, your strongest desire?" And then as we're there on our knees praying to God, all kinds of thoughts come to us. I think of my wife, and I think of all her needs and her wishes, and I think of her earthly happiness. How I do have a loving concern for the joy and the happiness of my wife. And then I think of my children and all their needs as my children, their education perhaps, getting them ready for life in this world. How I want to make sure I raise up my children in the right way. I would give everything for my children. And then I think of myself too, perhaps my own heartaches, my own happiness, my earnest desires in life. I think of all these things, and I bite my tongue, and I say, "None of these things, Lord. None of these things, Lord. This is my desire, the glory of Thy name. I gladly give up all these things, if it means Thy name might be glorified." And then you see, congregation, that this first petition is a prayer of self-denial. It's not, "Hallowed be my name." It's not, "Hallowed be my wife's happiness." It's not, "Hallowed be my children's upbringing." But, "Hallowed be Thy name, O God. Glorify Thy name." And then, Father, as we pray, "Glorify Thy name," meet us with Thy grace and cause us to know that Thou art with us even as we desire and go forth pursuing after the glory of Thy name. And that must be our petition and our desire with everything. This petition comes first. "Hallowed be Thy name." If I am in prison, perhaps one day for persecution, and God's name is glorified more by my imprisonment than by my freedom, then I pray, "Father, keep me in this lonely cell. Be near unto me with Thy grace. Keep me in this lonely cell if it means Thy glory." If I am called upon to sacrifice the life of my only child and give up the upbringing of my child for no other reason than that it is God's will and it would serve His glory and it is an obedience to His command, then will I not do it for His glory? After all, isn't that what Abraham did with Isaac, his only begotten son? In Genesis 22, God commanded Abraham, and Abraham said, "I will do it." I will give up mine only begotten Son, because this is my first desire. Thy name be hallowed. Is this not what God has first done for us, beloved? With His only begotten Son? Giving up His only begotten Son to the bitter and shameful death of the cross, yes, ultimately for His glory, but even in His love and compassion to serve for our glory, that we might be with Him in His glory? Was this not Jesus' own attitude in John 17 in that very first verse? Father, the hour is come. Glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son also may glorify Thee. Again, what was that hour Jesus was talking about? How did God ordain to glorify Himself through His Son? Jesus knew it well. Through His own suffering and death on the cross. He did that for the glory of His Father. And that's our example. And then this is ultimately also the reason for making this petition and for making this petition first. First of all, because I understand that this is simply what God is worthy of. This is His due. As the Creator Almighty, as the all-holy and righteous God, He is the Creator, I am but the creature. God does everything for one reason. His own glory. The creation of the universe, the beauty of this earth, God's constant providential care, God's work of salvation, it is for one reason, His glory. This is why you have breath, beloved. This is why you have been redeemed. This is why you are here. God's glory. And so I pray this petition, praying that God would fulfill His own will in our lives through giving glory to His own name through us. But then second, I pray this prayer. I have this as one, my one desire because I am thankful, humbly thankful that God has given me His only begotten Son to suffer and die on the cross. I am thankful that God has redeemed me from eternal hell, ransomed my soul to be His child and enjoy His love. That's where we are in the catechism, isn't it? The third part of thankfulness. And prayer is the chief part of thankfulness, isn't it? And right here in this first petition, we express our thankfulness. Glorify Thy name. I want Thy name glorified because I am thankful. I'm thankful for Jesus Christ. I have life with God through Him. And I am humbled. And I pray, Father, whatever I have, whatever I am, it is all of Thee. Father, I thank Thee. And I praise Thee. Glorify Thy name. May my name perish, but hallowed, glorify, praised be Thy name. I must decrease. He must increase. May God give us the grace to pray this petition with understanding and with true sincerity. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Father, give unto us the grace to pray, hallowed be Thy name. To pray it in all areas of our life, with all that we are and all that we have. In Jesus' name, amen.